One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Hello and welcome back to the Artie Friends podcast. This is Allison, and today we're just doing a throwback episode because it is Christmas Eve and we wanted to be present with our families. And happy holidays to you guys, however you choose to celebrate. This intro is live. It's December 23rd tonight, and so this will go live tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to our activities tomorrow. Me, Clay, my mom, and Hayes are going to an alpaca farm. I mentioned this about a month ago, but you go into a greenhouse and do high tea with alpacas. Pretty niche experience, but we thought it would be a fun and unique way to celebrate the holiday. And that kind of ties in with the episode that I chose for today's repost so that we could have time off and share one of our favorite older episodes. And that episode is all about how to host special, memorable experiences. And we share some of our favorite events that we've either been a guest at or ones that we've hosted or are hoping to host in the future. And we also give pointers about how to add special touches that are budget friendly and don't require that much effort, but the intention will be remembered. And so after I do a little catch up and share my peek, we will put that episode on. The original air date was April 9th. So this is from last spring, 2025. But yeah, a few little updates here. As I'm a little over 1 week of having baby boy Hayes, we are absolutely over the moon in love with him. I obviously knew I would love him so much, but it's true what everyone says. Like, once you have your baby, your heart just grows so much, and it's incomprehensible how special and magical getting to look at your baby is after wondering for so many months of them being inside you, what they're going to be like, how they're going to look, what their little expressions are going to be like. He's in the bassinet next to me, so maybe if you can hear some cooing and baby sounds, it's because he's right here. I actually took him and Peaches to the park earlier this afternoon because Peaches really needed some outside time. She's our dog, if you're not a regular listener. And I was really proud of myself. I put him in the carrier, Peaches on her leash, diaper bag on my back, and I stopped at the coffee shop on the way and got a little cappuccino and let Peaches run around. And he did so good in the carrier. He was just like sleeping the whole time. And it was just such a sweet moment. I was like, wow, I'm really a mom. And then on Sunday, we had our first proper outing. Me, Clay, my mom, Peaches, and Hayes. We went along the canal just for a walk because it was beautiful out for a December day. And then we went to a restaurant and we were there for 2 hours. And I know it won't always be like this, but he was an angel. We were like, you know what? We'll just go. and we'll get like an appetizer. And if he does well, we'll stay around and we'll order. And if we end up having to take it in a to-go box and get out of here, like no worries. But he did great. Clay had him for like the first hour and he was napping. And then he was on my lap, just kind of looking around for the second hour. And we timed it. Like I breastfed him right before we left the house and then right when we got home. So he was just snug as a bug in a rug in that carrier and super content. So that was a big win for our first family outing. And yeah, we had the Kramsorg. I feel like I need to do an entire episode about the Dutch Kramsorg. It's Kraamzorg. It's a unique maternity care concept that is just here in the Netherlands. And I mean, maybe some other countries have some form of this, but the specific way that they do it here is through an organization, and they come to your house the first 7 to 10 days postpartum. And we had our lady for 7 days because we signed up kind of late, so we weren't able to get like the full 10 days. But honestly, 7 was perfect because I felt like we were really supported. She shared so much with us that I would not be doing as well as I am without all of her amazing tips and tricks and knowledge and just reassurance and peace of mind that she provided to us. But then after the 7 days, we were like excited to get into our own rhythm and our own routine. And also they show up at 9 a.m. every day. And I like my slow mornings and my alone time. So it was kind of a little overstimulating having someone come over at 9 a.m. every morning and like be a part of our whole day until like 3 p.m. ish is when she stayed most days. So it was like perfect. 1 week was enough to make us feel more equipped and more confident as parents. And then by the end of it, we were like, okay, we're ready to fly on our own now. And yeah, my mom is still in town. My sister is leaving the U.S. tomorrow, and then we'll technically get here on the 25th. So I'm super excited to have her back. And now she can meet Hayes. Because I had told you guys she came over Thanksgiving. She's in education, so she came on her Thanksgiving break, but Hayes wasn't here yet, so she didn't get to meet him last month. But now he's here, and we're going to get to have great bonding family time with her and my mom both being here. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. And then, yeah, we'll see what we get up to. I'm still trying to take it somewhat easy, but my healing is going really well. My stitches had already came out on their own on day 6, which I was really impressed with. Glad that that process went smoothly. And then as far as my uterus moving down, I didn't know about this, but each day the Kramsorg like checked also on me. She took my temperature, my heart rate. She felt my stomach. She checked my lady parts to make sure everything was healing up okay. And as far as my uterus, apparently it needs to drop to -7 to be back to where it was. And it's already at -6. Was at -6 on Sunday. So it might even have already moved all the way down now. So that's also really wonderful. Lots of good things happening over here in our world. And we're just in love with Hayes, and Peaches has been a great big sister. I'm really proud of her. I was low-key a little worried because I love her so much, and I wanted her to love Hayes, and I wanted her to protect him. And she's just been so curious about him and always keeping an eye and wagging her tail and giving him little kisses on his head and cuddling with me and him on the couch, especially while we're breastfeeding. It's been really, really sweet. And yeah, I can give you guys more updates on breastfeeding, but the quick and dirty of it is that the first few days, it was tender, it was sore. My nipples were just like in pain. And then with the Kramsorg's help and feedback from her, we've tried different positions. We really worked on his latch, and now it's going so much smoother. I love breastfeeding. I tried the pump yesterday for the first time just because I want to be able to have bottles on hand if there's like, I don't want to say an emergency, but like if I go to a workout class or I end up being out for the day a little longer than planned and Clay's like, he's fussy and needs some milk, or if I want to skip a night feed and Clay wants to get up. Like, we're going to try to do 2 to 3 bottles a week just so he gets used to it, but also plan to breastfeed him on the breast the majority of the time and then have the breast milk bottled when and if he needs it. And so I have some silicone bags and practice, you know, pouring it from the breast pump into the silicone bags and getting it labeled. So yeah, it's all part of the process. And sleep is going okay, as good as it can with a newborn. Been doing a little bit of work here and there. Clay took the week off from clients last week, so we were just in our newborn bubble. It was amazing. And then this week, being Christmas, a lot of his clients are traveling, so we still have a pretty low-key week. But yeah, within all of that, gosh, peak of the week, so many peaks. I just am smitten. I'm in love. I feel like I'm living my dream. So what could be the peak? Actually, okay, the first thing that just came to mind, this was probably like the fifth or sixth day that we had Hayes. And after the Kramzorg left, I was just on the couch, lit the candles, lit some Palo Santo, and Clay ran to the grocery store to get things for dinner, and I turned Chance Pena on. You guys know my favorite musician, and I put him on the speaker really loud. I mean, not like blaring loud, but like loud enough. And I was just singing the Hayes and crying because I love him so much, and was just like, buddy, you went to this concert. And it made me think about all of the things that I did with him in my belly and how much he's already done and how much we're gonna do with him. And then Clay got home like right in the midst of like me in my feels, like tears rolling down my face, cuddled up on the couch with Hayes and Peaches, and he just sat down and joined me, and we were just singing together and holding hands, and it felt like heaven on earth. It was so sweet. But yeah, I don't want to make this go too long. I was going to try to keep it under 10 minutes, so I don't know if I did that or not, but yeah, happy holidays to everyone. I hope you guys stay safe and healthy and happy. And please enjoy this throwback episode about creating memorable experiences. And I hope that in the next couple weeks, when you guys are with friends and family and loved ones, that you have all kinds of new memorable experiences with them. As always, sending love. Thank you all for being here. And then next week, Kara will do a quick intro with her updates. And then we will be back together for that first January episode. Thanks, guys.
Okay, but getting into today's topic, fun ideas for friendship hangs. You had a good idea. You have some rules and some good guidelines for even just getting together with friends. Do you want to jump into that first?
Yes. If you guys have listened to our How to Plan a Trip episode, maybe we should link that one in the show notes, because I feel like similar energy to planning friend gatherings is similar energy to planning trips, especially with summer coming up. A lot of people take trips in the summer. But the way I approach friend gatherings is kind of similar to how I would approach planning a trip. And I think you need to consider what you want out of it. In the same way that with planning a trip, if you just say, oh, I need a trip, it's like, well, what kind? Do you want something relaxing? Do you want something fun? Are you celebrating an occasion? Are you trying to have an intimate experience with just like one to two people where you really get to know them better? Or is it more about the location or the activity with like a bigger group of people? So likewise, when you're planning these gatherings, ask yourself what like the MO of the gathering is. Do you want a handful of people? Do you want a lot of people? Are you trying to connect multiple people that you know together to expand your friend group? Are you trying to have your friends and family meet? Like, consider how inviting certain people affects the group dynamic, because it really does. And I think it affects it even more if there's a smaller group of people. Like, if you only have three people and the other two people don't really get along that well, that would be pretty awkward. But if you have 20 people at an event, it would maybe be okay, because people will branch off and find someone else like-minded there and they can kind of do their own thing. But I think if you're having an intimate gathering, you need to be really cognizant about who you're inviting so that they all feel comfortable at the gathering. And then once you have the vibe decided, if it's fun, if it's relaxing, if you're connecting people, determine if there's like a dress code, because sometimes I'm totally down for socializing, but I don't want to get dressed up. And I find this to be the case more often on Fridays. If I've had a really long work week and or particularly a long Friday, sometimes I'm so down to meet up with a friend, but in a very low key way, like PJs at each other's house or just something low key that doesn't require me to like get ready. But then on Saturdays, I find myself more likely to want to like get dressed up and do the thing, because I have the whole Saturday. I can run errands, I can do an everything shower, I can get ready, I can take my time. And so I don't know if everyone is like that, probably not. But for my personal schedule, I find on Friday evenings, I want something more chill. And then on Saturday nights, I'm more down for like a coordinated bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely establishing a why. Not only will, like you said, that gives some direction to the dress code, what people can expect. I feel like having a why always increases the likelihood of a better turnout because it gives people a reason to get together instead of just saying, oh, I'm going to have some people over, hang out, do a wine night. I mean, honestly, even having a wine night, that is a good why. Like, even just to say you're going to drink wine, I feel like that it can help build the vision in someone's head of what the night's going to look like and then in turn ensure that they come and get a better turnout.
Yeah, 100%. And then when there's a theme or someone kind of has an idea of what's going on, they have a better idea of how they can participate. Because going into some good general hospitality considerations, if someone else is hosting, then I think it's polite as a guest to bring something. And if you know what the theme is, then you can bring something appropriately, whether it's at their house or whether it's offsite. Or whether there's a specific theme that you could bring a meal or a snack for that ties into that. I think that that kind of helps narrow it down. And you had some nice thoughts about ideas of something to bring besides just beverages and snacks that are more unique.
Yes, I am with you. I think it is nice to bring something because even as someone going over to someone's house, sometimes it does feel awkward coming empty handed. And now that I've been hosting a lot over the last year, I have accumulated so many bottles of wine. So my hot take for this episode is think outside the box. It doesn't always have to be a bottle of wine that you bring to someone's house. And if anything, this is going to save you money because a lot of these ideas that I have for things other than a bottle of wine are a lot cheaper. But they also show that same act of kindness, that same gesture of appreciation for the person that's hosting. You could bring a little bundle of fresh flowers. You could bring some herbs, maybe if you have a little basil plant in your house, or honestly, even going to the store and just getting a little bundle of herbs, but maybe take it out of the packaging and put some twine around it or something. A cute bar of soap. We have a little soap store down the street that does really cute mini bars of soap. They're $5. Like, that's way cheaper than a bottle of wine, but kind of cuter, honestly. You can do a nice chocolate bar. Hugh Chocolate is a great brand.
Yes, again, snaps any of these, for Hugh.
Yeah, Hugh's great. It's like, it looks so nice good. And it's delicious and it has no lecithin or any of those fillers. Again, just put a little ribbon on it, like a tie a bow on it with twine. I feel like just having a spool of twine or a spool of ribbon at your house at all times, just to put, literally add a bow to anything. And I feel like that makes it look nice. But again, as someone who is just, I have probably legitimately 20 bottles of wine in my house. Me and Connor do not drink wine really ever. So if you're coming over to my house, just know I will accept any of those. Also, if the hang is more casual, like a sweatshirt, sweatpant hang, I feel like after the first time, if it is just you and friends getting together super casually, I feel like then it's okay to stop bringing things as much.
Yeah, I agree. I think the more you know someone and the more comfortable you are with them, and that would probably increase the amount of times you're hanging out, then you don't always need to bring something. I think in those instances, it's more like, hey, I'm on my way. Do you want me to stop and grab anything? Like,
yes.
Do you want a coffee? Do you want a matcha? Or like, oh, we're staying in. Like, should I grab a dessert or pizza? Like that type of thing. And you're, because then you're kind of hosting together.
Wait, yes. Even just offering and sending that text, that is such a great tip. Because sometimes I'm like, please don't bring anything. Because like, I actually, you know, do have enough stuff or don't want any bottles of wine or anything. But also then it offers up, oh, wait, actually, yes, we do need ice. Oh, we need a pack of water or something like that. I have utilized those text messages at certain times. So I really, really like that tip of just asking. But you also put a few more little gifts down as well.
Yes, I also think Palo Santo or incense or a little candle could be nice, or an intentional mindful dessert. I don't think you always have to go crazy and get like a whole cake or a gallon of ice cream or something like that. But if there was a specialty dessert shop in your area, or even some grocery stores will have elevated desserts in their bakery. A few weeks ago, one of my friends was cooking and I know that she eats vegan. So I went to this vegan, it's like an ice cream dessert little shop. It's so cute. And I picked out a few different bite things and put them all in one box. And then we just nibbled on them after we ate. Then it didn't have to, because I know she's health conscious and I also don't want to be eating like a bunch of junk after we have this nice healthy meal, but it was sweet and savory and just hit the spot after we ate. So I thought that was a nice little touch.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think nice gourmet little foods always under, can be under $10, under $20 for sure. It's always a hit when I bring a loaf of sourdough bread. There's a bakery down the street from us. And we've gone to very nice dinner parties with like very bougie people. And I'll bring them literally an $8 loaf of sourdough bread and they love it. Like we get texts a couple days after, the bread was so delicious. Thank you so much. So when in doubt, bring fresh bread or bring a little chocolate bar.
And with the fresh bread, if you really wanted to go the extra mile, a nice cheese or a nice jam with it.
Ooh. Like,
even by itself, oh, like a fancy jam. The containers can be so cute and you can use them forever. And if, I guess if you eat dairy, like a nice cheese, I feel like is also elevated, even if it's only like $5, $6, $7.
Yeah, there's just something about the thought of these. Like I'm even thinking, I could have brought the Super Bowl probably a $50 bottle of wine, but I genuinely think the sourdough bread went further in their minds for some reason. So it kind of stands out and it feels like a very fancy, elevated gift when it doesn't monetarily have to be.
I think because it shows you thought about it, like the default is bringing like a 6-pack of beer or a bottle of wine. I feel like that's like the standard and it doesn't take that much thought. It's still really nice. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't take that much creativity to just like run into the store and grab it on your way versus if you went and got a fresh loaf of bread or Palo Santo or some chocolate. It was like you had to kind of think how you wanted to put it together. And if you wrap it a little bit, it does just show that a little bit extra layer of effort.
That's so true. Okay, we have a few more housekeeping rules that you wrote down. Do you want to go into those?
Yes, sure. If someone else cooks, I think you should help clean up. Some people might be offended or might not want you to. I think it could be appropriate to ask, like, but I think the majority of people would appreciate if everyone helped clean up a little bit. They might kind of say like, oh, it's okay. But if you start doing it and they don't stop you, I think you kind of have a green light.
Yeah,
would you 100% agree or disagree?
Oh, yes. And I think the one that you get backlash from kind of would be maybe starting to do the dishes. But I think you'll never have someone stop you if you just start picking up trash, like picking up beer bottles or picking up plates and just even putting them in the sink or throwing them in the trash can. That always, like, I'm always so happy when someone does that if I have people over. But yeah, I could see someone not wanting you to do the dishes. But I feel like even just like wiping up crumbs and stuff, no one's going to be mad at you for that. That's really nice, honestly.
And taking the plates and the cups from wherever you ate into the kitchen is even like a nice extra step.
Yes.
Before you even get to the gathering, I think you should notify the host if you're going to be running late or you need to leave early. That way they know it was your intention before you even arrived and it wasn't like personal that you got there and you weren't enjoying your time. So you're like, oh, I gotta head out. I think it's just polite to let them know ahead of time so that they can plan accordingly. And also ask if it's appropriate if you can bring a guest or a pet. Because I love bringing Peaches everywhere, but I know not everyone wants a dog coming over. Or sometimes it's like you're encouraged to bring a guest. It's like, oh, the more the merrier. We want to get everyone together. And sometimes people, I don't know, want an intimate or a certain number so that they can prepare accordingly, like a table setting or the amount of food and drinks or whatever. And then when you get there, I think you should ask about taking your shoes off. Maybe I'm weird, but I just don't love shoes in the house.
Yeah, I have to clarify. Is this a shoes on house or shoes off house?
Yeah.
There's two different types of houses.
There is. And I think as a host, when your guests are coming, I think it's nice if you go greet them at the door and you can help them by just saying like, oh, okay, you can leave your shoes here. I'll take your coat and purse or your bag or whatever. We'll put it over here. Bathroom's down the hallway. You go over to where everyone's at. Hey, everyone, you know, this is Kara. Kara, this is Clay, however you do it. But I think that if you're a proactive host and you can answer those questions before they're even asked in a polite way, I think that's a good sign of a good host.
Yeah, that's so normal, too. And if you were someone who did care about people putting their shoes or leaving their shoes on, doing all that, perfect way to direct them to taking them off.
Same. Do you have any others along the lines like that as you've been hosting?
And just one to throw even in there as well, if ask if they want a water or something. I feel like that's a good one in that little checklist, that order of things. Here, put your coat here, put your purse here. Do you want a water or anything? That's one that I have to throw in there as well. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and talk about one of our sponsors real quick, Shopify. As you guys know, starting a small business, there's nothing small about it. There are so many things to do. And both myself and Allison run a business, obviously, run this podcast, and it has been consuming us since we started. There's always a new decision to make. And sometimes those small decisions feel so massive. And something that really helps you when you have a small business is choosing a company that has a great reputation, that does things right, so that the small decisions can be the right decision. So that's why we love Shopify. It is the best commerce platform, and Shopify is behind millions of businesses around the world. Did you know it actually is 10% of all e-commerce in the US is Shopify? So that's brands like Mattel, Gymshark, Skims, you name it. Those brands use Shopify. You can tackle all of your important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Shopify makes the marketing mind field easy with built-in tools for running social media and email campaigns, so you can find new customers and keep them. And if you're looking to grow your business internationally, Shopify has global selling tools that can help you in over 150 countries. I mean, for us, it's a no-brainer. Shopify is the e-commerce platform to use if you're selling anything online. Get all the big stuff right for your small business right now with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. You can use the code alreadyfriends to get a $1 per month trial. Again, at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thanks to Shopify for sponsoring the show.
This isn't just a game. It's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, and showing them where, like, the refreshment area mm-hmm. is. If you need anything else, help yourself, make yourself at home. Those type of comments, I think, go a long way with people. And if you really want to go above and beyond, either the day before the gathering or, like, the day of, sending a thoughtful reminder, like, oh, I'm so looking forward to seeing you. Here's the address. Here's the time. You can park here or here. And that way the person has some reassurance that you are looking forward to seeing them and that you're, like, still on for the gathering. And that way, if someone, especially if you're new in your friendship or they're new to meeting that group of people, they do feel like, okay, yes, I should go. This person wants me there. Because sometimes people can get in their head and being like, I don't know, maybe I should bail, or maybe they don't actually care if I go. And I think that that reminder follow-up before helps reassure some, you know, nerves that someone could be having.
That is very true. That's very nice. Another thought I just had of another good reason to have a why. I feel like having a why can also time the night or the evening, afternoon very well, so that things don't go too long or it's too short. I feel like having activity or just like a reason that you're all together helps with the timing of getting together. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally agree. Because then if there's a game or an activity or a theme, it's like, oh, once we do this and it's over, you can go ahead and go home.
Yeah.
Because I think people kind of like to know, like, is this a 2-hour thing? Is this a 4-hour thing? Like, do I need to stop home after work and let my dog out first? Or are we only going to be meeting for 2 hours? Or, like, are we eating at this? Or should I make dinner plans for after with another friend? Mm-hmm. Then people just, I don't think people really care how long it is or what's going on as much as just wanting to know beforehand so that they can plan accordingly, because we all have busy lives. Or, like, okay, let's say they have to plug their meter. They're like, am I plugging this thing for an hour, 3 hours? Like, I don't know, there's a lot of considerations. And I think it's just respectful to everyone if there's a time frame. And then people don't have to feel like, oh, I'm leaving early. It's like, oh, no, you're leaving just on time. Go right ahead.
Yeah. And a pro tip, if you're the host and maybe you're an introvert and your battery, your social battery isn't as long as other people, give an out for yourself at the beginning or even in the middle of the night. Just make sure you have like an end goal in mind and just give an excuse. Be like, okay, guys, I have a really early workout class in the morning. If we want to kind of wrap up, I don't know, just try to give yourself an out, because I feel like I have friends that are like that. And then they'll just like abruptly end the night, which I don't care because I love them. I know them. But I'm like, it might be better if you just voice that to everyone. Oh, I have an early call in the morning. If we can be done by 9. I don't know how you word it nicely, but giving yourself an out so that people know not to linger too long is good.
Last year, one of my friends was hosting a gathering on a Sunday, and I know that she's like a Sunday reset type of person. And so this brunch thing was maybe, at like 10 a.m. And in the invite text, I love it. She was like, and by noon, I need you all out the door. Yeah. I want my house to myself after noon. So please carry on. If you come after 10 a.m., I still would like you to leave by noon. And I'm like, honestly, love that. Thank you. Because it's hard to get people out of your house sometimes. It's different if you're like off site at a restaurant or a park or something, because then if you want to leave, you can just leave. But if everyone's at your house and they're like not leaving, it can be hard to be like, how do I get them to leave? Especially if it's not at night. If you're going to bed, you can always say you're going to bed. But if it's a brunch thing or an afternoon thing, it can be hard to set that boundary. And I think it's important to do it beforehand. So then people just know, because maybe they thought like, oh, it's Sunday, you don't have anything going on, we're just vibing. And you're like, no, I want you to leave.
Okay, I'm just going to out myself. Like, low-key, this is one of my life hacks of all time. Like, I do this for everything. Like, I always give myself an out, or like, if I need an end time for something, like, I just say it from the beginning. If I gotta get coffee with someone, I'll like typically be like, okay, I have a call at 10:30, so this can't go longer than 2 hours, or it can't go longer than an hour and a half, just because sometimes things do linger a little too long. So I'm really outing myself here. If you ever get coffee with me, I'm sorry. But sometimes I do be like, okay, I have a call at 1:30. And I always do. Like, I'm not lying. Like, I do. Like, I literally hung out with my friend B today, and I was like, okay, I have a call at 1:30, so we have 2 hours. Because then, I don't know, then it just sets expectations for everybody.
And I think it allows you to maximize the time together. Same when I was in Omaha last week, I went and got lunch with a friend, but I scheduled the red light therapy at like 2. So I was like, okay, we're going to get there at like noon. It'll take me 15 minutes to get over there. So I'm not going to feel like we're rushed, but I very well know if I didn't have that, we'd be sitting there all day.
Exactly, which I love. Like, obviously, but not always. Like, sometimes I'm meeting someone for coffee, I don't want to sit there all day. Like, I don't know you. We're just like networking or connecting. So I think having an hour time limit, especially when you don't know the person, and it's like a first meeting, is so great. Like, it's truly my best life hack. Like, okay, I have a call at 11:30. Thanks for meeting me at 10. I'll probably have to bounce by 11 if that works for you. Like, honestly,
and I think it
pro tip
encourages them to be on time too, or just know, like, if they're late, like, okay, I still have to leave at this time. Like, it's fine if you're late.
Yeah, exactly.
Our window is going to get smaller.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, I've just outed myself, everybody. But I think, again, if you know your social battery and it's going to run out, I love that your friend said that in the text. Like, be out of my house at noon. I think everyone likes that. Like,
no.
We know what, now we have a plan. Now we know what's going on. It's perfect.
And I don't know if she said that to every person, but I knew since she said that to me, because I would like help her. And when it was starting to get close to that time, I'm like, okay, I'm helping her clean up. I'm trying to encourage other guests to start to mosey out, because I'm like, I know that she wants her house back.
Yeah.
So yeah. No. Anyway, okay. That was fun. And I think that was a very important part of this conversation, because even if you have a great idea for a gathering, if the vibes are off or you come off disrespectful or not warm and welcoming, then like, it doesn't really matter how cool the theme was or how delicious the meal was if you're not like, if the vibes aren't there.
Yeah. With that being said, what is one of the ideas on your list?
Okay, this is top of mind for me right now, because when I was back in Omaha last week, my dad coordinated me and my siblings and his wife to go to bingo night. And my family is a big bingo family. We've been going at the VFW for my entire life. But now in Omaha, we found a place. It's called Blondo Bingo. This place is legit. They have it 4 nights a week. And the grand prize for Blackout Bingo is $1,000.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy. Yeah. Like, and each round is $60 or $120, depending on if it's single or double bingo. So you're going to win some money. And it reminded me of when I was a kid, my mom and her friends did Bunko. I don't know if anyone under the age of 30 here knows what Bunko is. This was like the rage in the 90s and the early 2000s. Women would get together. Maybe it's not like this everywhere, but this is how it was in our community. The dads would all go to one house with the kids, and then the wives and the moms would go to another house. And the aesthetic was very kitschy, like neon feather boas, crazy colored glasses. It was like a whole moment, I guess, for Bunko night. I'm not sure if anyone really cared about playing Bunko or not, but it's like a dice game, I think. If this sounds interesting to you, you guys can look it up on Google for the rules and whatever. Or if you had a game that you and your friends liked, you could just get really into that game. And then they did it like every month. And especially for people who do have kids or pets, I think like that coordinated effort where all the kids can go to one house is like the best of both worlds for everyone, because then no one needs to get a sitter. Like, all the kids are. And as a kid, I loved it because we got to hang out with all those other kids with the dads, and the dads, you know, are usually a little bit more flexible on the rules. So we would get to stay up late and, you know, have snacks and whatever. But Bingo and Bunko, fun time. It's silly. They're very non-serious games. So I feel like it allows you to talk and multitask without, some games, it's like, there's too many rules. Like, I don't need to be, I don't want to be taught that much about the game. I'm like, I'm just here for, like, I don't know, the people and the activity, not competition.
Yeah. And if you're learning about it, you're not going to win the first time you play. So it's like you're guaranteed to lose that night if you don't know how to play and if you're learning. I think that's really fun. Okay. One for me, very related to this. I did this with me and Connor and then one of his really good friends that was a groomsman in our wedding. And his wife, it was a murder mystery kit where it just came in a binder. And you basically do like a murder mystery, solve this puzzle thing with just these papers and this binder. So it's a very low effort, but it was really fun. You can buy these kits on Amazon. I think you can buy them at Target, Walmart, all these places. But the one she got was on Amazon. But it was basically just a 2 to 3 hour activity. And it just had all these different papers and it kind of led you along the way. But you had to figure out who killed this girl or whatever. And there was all these different stories and newspaper clippings and articles. And you had to dig through the newspaper clippings and figure out what the police were missing and stuff. And it was very fun. I think it was literally $10 off Amazon, but that was such a little easy evening activity on a Saturday night. And then we just hung out in the basement and did it. And then when it was done, we played like one more card game and then left. But I thought that was very fun. There's also apps that do very similar. If you want to do like a proper murder mystery, there's little websites that do it for like $15 where you can have 6 to 12 friends. And one person does have to be the host and read the directions and stuff. But anything murder mystery where you use your brain and kind of figure out kind of like Clue, I think that's really fun.
I loved Clue.
Yeah, Clue's fun.
I saw you put clothing swap, and this is related to that, if we want to talk about those. I love doing a clothing swap idea, and then adjacent to that, a mending party where if someone in the group knew how to sew, you could sew small things, hemming or add a button. If that's too complicated, even dyeing clothes, especially whites, like I think we all probably have a pile of white clothes that have a coffee stain or something on it. You can just use Rit dye and dye a batch of white clothing. Like I think the brown Rit dye turns out really well. It makes it like a soft washed brown, kind of a creamy color, depending how long you leave it in. And then you can't even see the stain. And then you have a cute item still that feels new to your closet. And I feel like those are the type of things that we put in the side of our closet or something, or we just end up donating because we never get to it because it's like a whole thing. But if you're doing it with your friends, you might actually follow through with cutting off those jeans into shorts for the summer, or cropping some t-shirts or hoodies, or fixing that button, dyeing some same clothes. That could be kind of fun, especially if someone has a garage or yard where you don't have to worry about a mess or ruining anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that idea. Even doing a tie-dye t-shirt day. Why not? Mm-hmm. We used to do that in elementary school. That was always so fun. During COVID, everyone was tie-dyeing stuff again. I tie-dyed some stuff. That was really fun to channel that inner child.
Totally. And you should talk about the clothing swap one because I think that's so cute.
I know. I think that's, I have not done this one, but I forget that those exist. And I think that's really fun. And when I had my clothing sale with my 3 other friends a couple months ago, we all were joking, like, why didn't we do a clothing swap first? Because we all just wanted everything in each other's closets. We're like, dang it. We should have done Friday night, we clothing swap. And then Saturday, we sell everything else that we didn't swap between each other. But my friend B, who again, I was just with, and she was kind of helping me with this list. She's done one where people just brought things that they don't want anymore. So not even just related to clothes, but just anything that you don't want anymore that you still think is useful. Like for me, I have so many candles. I could probably do a swap where I bring some candles that I'm literally never going to burn because I have way too many. And or even just PR. I feel like
I was just going to say that.
Like, yeah.
So many like beauty products.
Yeah. Now my new fun thing with my PR is, well, I've donated a lot. I have a local organization here that I will give some of my PR to. But if I don't do that, my new thing is that I have a treasure box at my house. And whenever my friends come over, I let them pick something out of the treasure box. And it's funny because it just reminds me of elementary school. But that's my new thing, my PR.
Oh, I love that. That's so fun.
I feel like a little teacher. I'm like, okay. When Hania was here, I'm like, okay, it's your birthday soon. So you get to pick out 3 things. Not actually. I let her pick as many things as she wanted. But I'm like, you get extra stuff out of the treasure box. I literally filmed it. I do need to make a video about it still. When you said you're behind on content, I relate. I'm so behind on everything. But that's my new thing with my PR.
I love that. They're like, how about we do the night at Kara's house so we can all pick from the treasure box?
I know. I literally, when I have people come over, I have the treasure box sitting in the corner. I'm like, guys, take stuff, please. It's it's very fun. I feel very lucky that I get to give people stuff.
Well, my next one is a stargazing night. In high school, there was this guy that I thought was so cute, and he lived in a small town that was close to Omaha, and our first date was a stargazing night. He just brought a bunch of pillows and blankets, and we like drove out in his truck to the countryside, like on a dirt road, and he just kind of parked on the side of the road, and we put everything in the pickup bed, and it was so calming and like relaxing, and then we could really get to know each other because you're just looking up, so you can still talk, bring a speaker, snacks if you want to. I think it's so romantic. And my 30th birthday in October, me, Jesse, and Jesse went out and saw the Northern Lights. That was really convenient. But I love looking at the stars. There's something about it. I look at them here literally every night. I feel so lucky in Tulum that I can just see them from my own apartment. But if you're in a city, obviously you kind of have to really get the full experience of the zen and the darkness. I think you got to go out of the city a little bit. And even removing yourself from the stimulation and the lights and everything, I feel like allows your nervous system to relax, which can deepen that intimacy and vulnerability, being somewhere where there's like no distractions and you're just there with the quiet and each other. It's very, romantic and wholesome.
So cute. Somewhat related to this one, having an outdoor movie night. I have seen this on TikTok and on Instagram. A gal that we both really like, her name's Talia. She's from Kansas City. I feel like you've been following her for forever. I feel like I've followed her for forever. She did a really cute one that I'll link in the show notes. But just getting a projector, having some candy, a little cute popcorn setup, getting your friends together and watching a movie outside, and just like a really fun weekend activity. Another cool way you could do this is having different snacks or foods that are in the movie so that when they come on screen, you bring them out. I have also seen that on TikTok and think it's so funny and cute. I'm trying to think what movie it was, but I mean, of course, you could think like Ratatouille, like have some Ratatouille. So when they're eating Ratatouille, it comes out, or having cheese when the little rats have the cheese, or just different things. There's so many templates online for different movies and what snacks are at what time period. So you can time it out, or even if it's they're drinking champagne in a different scene, bringing out champagne. And you could even assign different people that are coming the different snacks so that like those people can like bring it out when that part of the movie comes on.
I love that. I think that's my favorite suggestion that you've made so far.
Yeah, I know. I want to do that one. We have an outdoor projector. We have a big screen. We have a backyard. So it's only a matter of time until I'll do that one. And I'm all about assigning people things. There's another one I guess I can say right now really quick too, related to that. Having a color party where it's a three-course meal. Not even a three-course meal, but you bring three things and everyone gets a different color. This is actually from McKenna. McKenna went to one of these for New Year's out in the Netherlands. I think their color was like blue or purple, but everyone brought one drink that was their color. So they brought a purple drink. Everyone brought one appetizer that incorporated their color. And then everyone brought one main dish. So someone had green and maybe they brought, and they brought a dessert. Okay, so I guess it was four things. But they maybe brought like creme brulee with fresh mint on top if they had green. Or they brought asparagus as like the side dish. Different dishes around your color. And then the whole spread is just so beautiful and colorful. But it's fun to kind of test your creativity with a different color. But I'm all about assigning people things, like giving people a certain color or task.
I think that all could tie in really well with holidays too.
Mm-hmm.
This is so dumb, but I'm immediately thinking of Elf because he's eating all of those different things. Like when he was having spaghetti with like maple syrup,
yeah.
But with Easter coming up and Mother's Day and the 4th of July, I think you could incorporate that concept of having people assigned to some aspect of either whether it's a movie or that part of the holiday. I need to wordsmith it. I need to put some thoughts into it.
Easter.
But I feel like with holidays, there's a spin.
Yeah, Easter pastel colors. You could do a color party with pinks. Your color's light yellow. You have light blue. I feel like that could be a thing.
It'd be so pretty.
Yeah. 4th of July, for sure.
Like two summers ago, me, Jesse, and Liv did that lemon soiree.
Ooh.
And we just built the entire brunch around lemons.
Yeah.
So all the foods were like lemon themed. The drinks were lemon. The tablecloth was lemon. I feel like there's a lot of fruits or foods or a color that you could full send it on.
1000%.
Another one, especially with this time of year, if you're listening in spring, is doing like a plant repotting or propagation night. Repotting, I think, depending on how many people you have. That could be a little complicated if you have a ton of plants, but if you're just doing a couple, it could be fun. You could still fit them in your backseat. Then the host has the soil, and maybe you guys even have extra pots. You could swap pot sizes if needed. But if you did a propagation night, and it could be so cute if everyone had a big plant that they were willing to propagate, and then you brought it, and then you made little clippings for everyone to take home. So then you would get to take home, like, however many people were there, say like 5 different little plants. So then you could have a variety, and that would be still really easy to transport because it would be so small still.
I have no green thumb. Can you give some examples of a plant that you would do that with?
Yeah, like a philodendron. Those are the ones that spew out and they get really, really long. They're usually like on top of a fridge or a high shelf, and they're just wrapping around everything in your house. I had one in my old apartment in Omaha. I propagated that thing literally every spring. You couldn't kill a philodendron. I feel like if you tried, they just, unless you put it by a heater, I will say that's like the one way in my experience, but they're so easy to propagate. We even were doing it today. Me and my assistant up on the roof, we were cleaning out, actually I should say she was cleaning out the flower beds. I was down in the kitchen and she brought one down. We were like, yeah, we need to propagate it because then we could have more plants inside. And it's such a hack, like, because now from that philodendron that I had once, it was from my grandpa's funeral like 10 years ago, maybe even longer. Now I've literally made like probably upwards of 50 plants from that thing because I've like given them to people, had them at the shop, sold some, gifted some, given them for Mother's Day, have probably 15 at my mom's house still.
Wow, that's really cool.
And even worst case, if someone bought one, you could still do it. They're very affordable plants.
Yeah, like someone buys it and then you guys split it, share the cost because you're propagating it. Yeah. That's really cute. Okay, related to this one, and kind of it kind of ties in back to what you were saying about the colors and the different holidays, getting together for obscure holidays, I think is really funny. And when you were saying that, I was thinking of May Day, which is, I think it's the first day of May, which is all about fresh flowers and seeds. And you could do everyone bring a pack of seeds and then we can all share and divvy up the seeds. Or you do the propagating thing on May Day. You could get together for Groundhog's Day. My friends did that this February, which sadly I had a housewarming party that same night, but they had a Groundhog's Day party and they got everyone together to see what the groundhog was going to say. And then they like cheered and celebrated and had a groundhog cake and people wore hats and stuff. I don't know. It was really, really cute. Some other random holidays, you get together for President's Day. Maybe people bring a fun fact about their favorite president or you dress up as presidents. I don't know. Again, you can interpret however you'd like. Any of the full moons, solstices. What are some other obscure holidays? I was trying to think off the top of my head.
I know. I was going to pull up. I made a post on Lemonade, non-holiday holidays okay. to celebrate A to Z. And I like listed them all out. I'll link it in the show notes for you guys. But I made a whole list for the calendar year of those different, like National Coffee Day or National Pumpkin Pie Day. Because there's a lot. Like literally every single day there's something.
Wait, yeah, that's really fun. So any obscure holiday. Again, I love a theme, so I'm here for it.
Equally as obnoxious, you could do pet birthdays. We've talked about this a few times. Again, all credit to Jesse for the original banjo cat birthday. And now we need to celebrate Peach's birthday this year. But I feel like that's a funny reason to get behind. If you also acknowledge that it's being dramatic in that it's like just to be funny, because I feel like that's something if you didn't know the person really well, you could be like, wait, are they serious? Like, do it. And it's like, no, it's supposed to be a joke.
Yeah.
Like it's okay if you miss the cat's birthday or the dog or whatever. Like, this is fully just an excuse to get together. Obviously, the animal is not aware. Maybe. Probably. But
Peaches would be.
Peaches might
wait,
be.
Wait, stop, Jinx. That's so funny. Peaches literally would be.
She's like, actually, I am counting down the days. It's 1 month and a day from today. Thank you. Cinco de Mayo.
Oh.
But yeah, pet birthdays.
No, it's so fun. I still love all the photos from Banjo, Jesse's cat's birthday party. And I thought that was so, so fun.
Oh my God, last thing I have to say on it. Everyone brought gifts and like cat toys and stuff. But someone brought like a tiny little mini banjo inside a case. It was so cute. And now it sits by his food bowl, like on the top of it.
Stop. That's adorable. That's a personalized gift. Again, back to the, you don't spend a lot of money to make an impact. You just show that you thought about it.
Yeah, like where does one get a mini banjo?
I don't know, but it could have been like $2 at the dollar store. But just the thought.
True, and here we are talking about it.
It was so personalized like that. Like that is the best gift by far.
True.
Okay, another one that I saw my friends in LA, they did a go deeper night, which, okay, this one I do really like, but I I feel like just with certain friend groups or things being embarrassing or cringy in the US, just I feel like that's our culture. This one, it would be kind of harder. I don't know how to word it or how to get people together, but genuinely just one of those nights where you get people together and you do the we're not really strangers deck, or you do some of the deeper questions. Maybe you can incorporate it with a dinner party, but we've talked about this on the show. You get so much closer with people when you answer and talk about those deeper questions. And maybe you just do need a more specific night where it's a go deeper night and you just get together with people to get to know each other on a much larger scale. I even had one of my friends last week I was with. She said she'd listen to the podcast and she found that Instagram page Flamingo Talks, and her friends did that all night and they were together until like 2 a.m. doing it. So people crave that connection. So maybe it is just you say we're doing a go deeper night. Put your vulnerable hat on. Come over and we're going to cry or laugh and get to know each other better.
Yeah, I love that. And I agree. I had wrote down backyard bonfire with those card games. I think a bonfire or a hot tub are two circular settings that this could go well for, because I feel like if you're playing a card game, if you're sitting in a circle, like the card question game, that's good because everyone can see each other. And if there's something in the middle, like a bonfire, then that's nice. You're around it. Mm-hmm. It's very cozy. Or if you're in a hot tub, then it's good because you're not distracted by your phone or other things. Maybe even sitting on a trampoline if you have one. I feel like so many of my childhood memories were like us on the trampoline in the backyard.
Oh my God. Why do I love that? Like, why am I about to go buy a trampoline right now? That's such a good idea. And the bonfire and the hot tub. I love that thought. You're so right. Some of my most deep conversations have been in a hot tub and I didn't piece that together. And it probably is because we didn't have our phones. So true.
There we go. I love that we joined that one together.
It's always great to get people together to do productive things. And again, B gave me this idea. Her and her friends get together every single month to do their monthly phone lock screen vision board. And she showed me her one for April. And I think that's a really fun, productive night. Of course, at the beginning of the year, people host vision board parties. But why has it got to stop with New Year's? Get together quarterly, if not monthly, and refresh those vision boards. Keep updating those visions and those goals.
I agree. And I love that one so much. Liz and I just did our mind movies in February, I guess that was, by the time we did it. And I agree, because the more frequently you do your vision board, the faster things come through. Because I had made one in like October, and I told you guys in our vision setting episode, I'm like, my life is already that vision board. Like, I already need to make new things. And if you're thinking about it more often and then setting more goals and having reminders, of course, those things are going to come through faster and quicker. And opportunities are going to open up. So I love that idea of increasing the frequency rather than it being, oh, once a year, okay, now forget about it. It's like, let's revisit. And maybe each time you don't have to fully redo your vision board, but if you obtain something or get something, then you could take that off, leave what's still to be accomplished or to receive or whatever, and then invite new things in.
Absolutely. Okay, what's one of your final wrapping up ones?
My final wrapping up one would be a picnic in the park or on the beach. Love a picnic. I think they are so wholesome, and they also take the pressure off of anyone having to host. And picnics can be very budget friendly, because if everyone just brings their own blanket, food and beverages, and you're just like, hey, let's meet for sunset, come around whatever time it is, depending on the time of year, or if it's the afternoon, then there's also less pressure around what to wear, how long to stay. Because if you just bring your own book and your own snacks and a speaker, whatever, you can stay for an hour. You can stay for 2 hours. If you're enjoying it and other people leave, people can come and go. You can bring your pets because it's a park or the beach. You're not going to someone's house, weather permitting, of course. But I just love picnics so much.
Yeah, who doesn't love a picnic? And being outside and having an excuse just lounge around people. I couldn't agree more. No notes.
Picnic might be one that could be good for the question game too, because you could also be in a circle. But yeah, that's all I've got for now.
I love that so much. Well, thank you guys for being here. We hope you got some new ideas and can envision a future friend night together with any of these ideas that we shared.
And if you need advice on how to make new friends or to maintain your current friends, we did a friendship series quite a while ago. It was a 3 or 4 episode series. We'll link that in the show notes as well, because I feel like there's a lot of tie-ins.
Bye.
Bye. To do how to go about it, how to be a good friend, that could build off of today's episode as well if you want to keep hanging out with us.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you guys for being here and for listening to another episode of Already Friends.
We'll catch you next week.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.